Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show, and we are bringing to you Wealth Club, and we've got some hot topics for you to be talking about today on the show. I'm hosting here with Jerry Thomas, and my name is Glenn Greenwich, and we've got some interesting facts and information lined up for you. It's Black History Month, and so we're going to be talking about black millionaires, baby. You know, there's more of them than we know, and it's not all about basketball and entertainment. There's a lot of other millionaires out there, and so we're out to just scratch the surface, and we are planning to make this a continuing conversation. So it's not just about Black History Month, but it's really about our awareness of what's out there and what's available, and we definitely want to let the young people know out there that there's lots of ways to become a millionaire, and slanging it on the street is not a great option. So anyway, this is Glenn Greenwich, and we're going to start off with the declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There's nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. Today's date is February 21st, 2010. North, south, east, west, above, below, and within, a moment of silence, please. Thank you. All right. What's up, Jerry? How you doing tonight, man?
Peace, brother. I'm blessed, and I'm very excited of this show. So, brothers and sisters of African descent, hold on to your seats, because here we come with the knowledge of African-American millionaires.
All right. Well, let's start off with current events. Mm-hmm. And the current event that we're going to start off with is Mr. Tiger Woods. Let's bring it full front. Let's talk about that conversation. So, first of all, Tiger Woods has been in the news for 3 months because of his infidelities and what he was doing outside of his marriage. Now, I think that's been a little intense. I also want to bring out the fact that Charlie Sheen then beat up his wife, okay, which I think is a much more heinous crime, and he got about 2 days publicity on it, where Tiger Woods is still up every day in it. So we're not going to belabor that conversation, but we are going to talk about what's behind the Tiger Woods being pressured really to make a public statement. And for me, really what that is about, obviously there's the moral issues that he needed to clarify and clear up and clean up. But one of the issues is that the Golf Association is losing money, big time. They're losing money because when Tiger Woods is at a match, they sell more tickets and more people are viewing it. And the viewing, now these are reports that I've heard, so I'm not going to quote them, but these reports are from anywhere from 10 to 40% reduction in the viewing audiences and or the attending audiences at the, you know, the PGA tournament. So obviously the sport needs him back, wants him back. A couple of his sponsors have dropped him, but overall, Nike and some of the bigger sponsors have stuck with him because they understand it's about money. And that's really what I want to say is the driving factor around most of this is that the bottom line is about money. So what do you think about it, Jerry?
I think those are excellent points, and go more into that is this too, that you see, for me, to me, I'm seeing another perspective. My perspective is this. When you start with any black man, any of our brothers and sisters start making millions, you're going to be targeted. I don't care if you serve the community, that's how it is. You're going to be targeted. And the thing about that, much more important to me, that what we should learn about this is that us as African descent, when you start making this money, there's a lot of jealous and envy people out here. But I think the most important thing that we need to understand is this, that we need to serve our community. Tiger Woods has made it seem time and time again that he is not black. He do not serve our community. He do not get back. He made his little show in Harlem once in a while, like a little brush up and stuff, but he never really into in our community. And then anybody that's listening right now, I want you to understand why me and Glenn talking about African American millionaires, but the one thing I want y'all to understand is this, that we have an obligation to serve our community. And especially the sisters. Understand this. We all in one.
Absolutely. So we want to hear your comments. We want to hear what you thought about the Tiger Woods apology. Was it heartfelt? And what do you think was some of the things behind it from a money standpoint? And of course, Tiger Woods is one of those millionaires. So let's not miss the point here. This show is about having conversations around black millionaires, and certainly he has been able to do that from his dominance of the sport. Our call-in number is 646-716-9827. That's the call-in number. I'm about to give out my own number there. What's up with that?
Huh? Yeah.
I'm trying to have them kind of calls. Anyway, 646-716-9827 is the call-in number. If you're on the web, just go to blacksummit.org, and you'll find a click to the radio show. So that's a nice and easy way to get to the show. We also have a chat room, so take advantage of that. We'll be looking. If you've got any questions, catch up with us. And this is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. This is Glenn Greenwich and Jerry Thomas bringing to you live the Wealth Club, and we're going to be talking about black millionaires all night long. And our night consists of 60 minutes, so we got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, Tommy.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that we're going to be featuring tonight, we're actually going to be featuring. I want y'all to know that we went to the library. Okay, you know, I want y'all to know. Brother told me one time. He says. If you want to hide something from a black man, put it in a book, okay? So we was in the library searching it out, okay? So we want to let you know. A couple of books that we came up with to do some of the research and some of the things that we're talking about tonight is The New Color of Success, 20 Young Black Millionaires tell you how they're making it. And that's by Nikki Butler Mitchell. And a very concise book. It's got about 4 or 5 pages of each of the millionaires that they're talking about. And it's a very good conversation. And the other book I want to mention that I actually didn't know about this gentleman, and they've got several books on him, but it's Mr. A.G. Gaston and The Making of a Black American Millionaire, and they call him the Black Titan. And we're going to talk a little bit. Actually, Jerry's going to talk a little bit about that later on. But that's another cat that is really a mogul. You know, when you talk about moguls, how come we don't know about him? How can we? How come we're not recreating his wealth abilities? So we're going to talk a little bit about that as well. Jerry, you want to tell him some of the books that that you're using for reference?
Yes. The first book that we picked out, Why Should White Guys Have All the Fun, is by Reginald Lewis. It says the title is How Reginald Created a Billion-Dollar Business Empire. This is the brother that had all obstacles had thrown against him, but he rises from rags to riches, you could say. Okay, and another book is Black Stars, African American Millionaires. Now, this book, brothers and sisters, is a lot of millionaires that we don't even think that we heard about it. Like Brother Glenn was saying that they buried the information in the library, and this I recommend anybody, parents, teachers, or anybody you want to set up a workshop, get this book, Black Stars, African American Millionaires, and it's by author Richardson Sullivan.
Well, you know what? On that note, I'm going to actually start on my first, the first person that I want to highlight tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is John Bryant. And he's the chairman and CEO of Operations Hope and Bryant Group Companies, Inc. He's out of Los Angeles, California. And it was Operation Hope was founded in 1992. He's got 33 employees. Now, get this, folks. His initial investment was $5,000, and he's got Hope loans and commitments worth $81 million, okay? So what this brother did is he went out there, and he actually, you know, he was a loan officer, went out there and dealt with banks. And then had the people, the bankers on the bus, took him into the community to show them what he saw, what he envisioned, and it's out of that commitment and that stick-to-itiveness, he actually now was able to create these relationships and begin to bring money into the community in L.A. And develop the financial wherewithal, and had the ability to accumulate $81 million. So I mean, you know, the brother is young. These are all. This is from the book, The 20 Young Black Millionaires. So I mean, nobody in this book is over 50 years old. So, I mean, we're talking about that. Let me see if I can find his age in here. But he's definitely a young-looking man, and you figure this book is a couple years old, so he's probably in his 30s, no more than 40. So that's what's possible, $81 million company in terms of worth and loans and commitments. All right, Jerry, I'm going to pass it over to you.
Okay. The first book I just highlight, Why Should White Guys Have All the Fun, Reginald Lewis. He was born 1942 and his untimely death of 1993. This brother, he became a millionaire not just overnight. It took him almost 20 years. He was making deals with Drexel. He was making deals with Goldman Sachs. and they was turning him down. They was giving him the other deals to other people. But finally, he came, Dressel called him back, and he made an $18 million deal. And after that, also Glenn, he would his wife. He got his wife to be go to college. So she's a Filipino sister, and she was writing her own paper, and plus he paid for her, you know, to get her degree in law. So also he have her to build up wealth with the children. And what's so amazing about him that he come from the poor streets of Baltimore. And you know, like, we hear a lot of things from Baltimore that is poor, because that's where Monique came from and other people came, other brothers, African descent came from. So this is a very deep brother. And on his time of death of 1993, even a little before then, he was like a constant worker, going to meetings. He was going like 3 or 4 meetings in a day. He was going like two or three different countries. And what happened was he developed a lot of wealth. And he finally passed away in 1993. And this brother is very, 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 this brother is deep. Why should white us have all the fun?
Yeah, I like that. I like that conversation. Really like that conversation. This is International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and this is Wealth Club coming to you live on Blog Talk Radio through the internet, through the internet waves of society, and we are talking about black millionaires, about accumulating wealth, and tonight's show is really dedicated to speaking about, calling up some names of people who are black millionaires and giving you some idea, because here's the thing that I was so left with. There are so many black millionaires that in this hour we couldn't even mention all of their names if that's all we did. And we're trying to just capture a couple of interest that you may know, may not know. And what we do is we actually invite you to go take a look at the library and find out, you know, who they are. If you're an aspiring business woman or man, seek out people who have succeeded in your industry, because I promise you there are at least 5 or 6 black millionaires that have succeeded in your particular industry that you wouldn't necessarily know about unless you did some research. We spent a couple hours in the library here in Queens, and were amazed at the wealth of information that was available. So, again, we invite you to go do the same. Check out the library. Check out the internet. But check it out and see what's possible for you and what you aspire and looking for. The next group of folks, is actually a group. I think a lot of people will be familiar with this group. It's For Us, By Us, and a company called FUBU. And J. Alexander Martin is the vice president and head designer. Damon John is the president and CEO. Carl Brown is a co-founder, and Keith Perrin is also a co-founder. Now, these brothers were in their 20s when they started it, and it was founded in 1992 out of New York, New York, and in 1998, just 6 years after they founded the company, they were a $350 million company. So do you guys hear this? In 6 years from founding and they started. Oh, by the way, the initial investment was $105,000. So roughly $100,000 they took. They have 85 employees, and within 6 years, they amassed $350 million. So that's not even to say what they're doing in this day and this economy, because FUBU is still hot. But these guys went after the black dollars, and they realized the true potential of the black buying power. And one of the things that you got to know is that the white community has basically just assumed that we're going to buy the best. So these young men actually targeted the black community specifically and were able to leverage that hip-hop conversation and transfer it into some real huge dollars. You know, one of the things about these brothers is that they really didn't take anything for granted. They came from the street and they started with nothing, and they understood that nothing is guaranteed. So they really worked hard to make a success. And, you know, we're talking about the kind of money that some companies don't make in 20 or 30 years that they were able to make in 6 years. So, again, you know, kudos to the brothers for putting that together and actually making a statement. And if you think about it, Sean John and some of the others have now followed suit. But FUBU was the first one to really, you know, have that urban look and, you know, and to really capitalize on it and make a statement and actually develop some wealth. So hats off to them. Pass it on to you, Jerry.
Okay. The first person that I'm going to do is Arthur Jones Gasson that Brother Glenn has talked about. Here's a brother. He was born on July 4th, 1892. I believe he's the first African-American millionaire. He established a funeral homes, and other commodities that back at that time. And at that time, they didn't really mention about any blacks that developed wealth. And at that time, he had an insurance company, bank, motel, two radio stations, a construction business, and realty investment corporation that was worth between 30 and 40 million at the start. Now, he was building wealth during at that time. Now, when the civil rights movement was born back in the early 50s, he stopped at that, what I was just saying, he was building hotels. And what happened was, it was like certain demonstrators, they were demonstrating deep in the South. They didn't have nowhere to go because there wasn't no whites was accepting them. And then so he was actually taking them in so they could be protected. And at the same time, doing the civil rights movement, Dr. Martin Luther King, he was coming like time and time again. Now, a few years later, when Dr. King got locked up in Birmingham jail, he bailed him out. And also the other people demonstrated was. And so here this brother, at all this time, he was building wealth, but he was empowering our communities. Also in 1966, he started the A.G. Gasson Boys Club, known as A.G. Gasson Boys Club and Girls Club. He donated $50,000 time and time again. In 1987, age 95, he made the decision to sell an insurance company and eight other corporations. And he also believed that the employer should sell his holdings to them so they could make some money too. company had more than $34 million in assets, $720 million worth of insurance. Now, by the time of his death in 1996, the age 104, I want, brothers and sisters, I want y'all to listen to this very, very carefully, because me and Glenn, we went through this ourselves. He was worth $132 million. That's right. He was worth $132 million at the age of 104. And he worked up to that age, Glenn.
That's right.
He worked up to that age, and then he said stamina, good eating habits, tendency, determined to keep physical and mental alert through his life. So that means that by all this, he keeping himself together and his family, gaining wealth, and plus impacting our community. Oh, yeah, and one thing I forgot, in 1961, he developed the Citizen Federal Savings and Loan Association, which later became Citizen Savings Bank. But it's also a blast to borrow money to build or purchase. By 1961, it access to exceeding $5 million. So here you go again. This is unheard of. This is very unheard of.
Yeah, he's definitely a giant.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to add one thing to it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I found amazing about this gentleman is that his ability to capture and corner the market. So Jerry talked about him having insurance policies. He had insurance policies. He had a cornerstone on all of the black funeral parlors. So he would insure you, he would bury you, and then later in his career, he acquired all the black cemeteries. So anything to do with death, you were either insuring with him, you were going to the funeral homes, taking care of the burial, and then he was actually putting you into the ground. So this gentleman really cornered the market and did service for the people of his community, Birmingham, Alabama. Hats off to him. Really hats off to him. We've got a listener, 718-3342. Go ahead, you're live on the air.
Hello.
Listener, 718-3342, go ahead. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, give us your name and what you'd like to say.
Hello.
Hello.
Are you there?
Yes, we are. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Jerry, this is Lloyd. How are you?
I'm fine. Peace, brother.
Peace. You didn't think I would get to you. You're very good. You're very good.
Yeah.
I'd like to know, where do you get your facts on this gentleman from Georgia?
He's actually from Alabama.
Alabama. He lived to 104. Jerry knows I'm 74 because we're friends. Right, Jerry?
Yes, sir. Part of the Bible study. Yes, sir.
And, you know, my son passed away Wednesday. He was 42. And he did good.
Sorry to hear that.
I want any listener to know his name was Todd Smith. He was 42. He worked from nothing into something. He was a human resource special inspector. He lived in the Clinton Hill area, down in that way, over on St. James Place. Anybody that knows him, his name was Todd Smith. A shout out, and maybe if anyone liked, he'll be at Woodworth's on 1 Troy Avenue Wednesday. The viewing is from 2 to 8. He was a good soldier and a good young man. My baby son, I miss him. And Jerry, like I said, I was going to call you, and I told you I was going to call in.
Yes.
So we got it. If anybody would like to come and view him, he's a good young man. He made out very good, and college degrees and everything else. And so I'm very proud of him. So if anybody like to view him, Woodmere at 1 Troy Avenue, Wednesday 2 to 8. Jerry,
okay.
I'll catch up to you, okay? Atlantic
okay.
Tower Bible Study. Study, okay?
Okay?
Yes,
right, sir.
Take care.
We're going to talk about the black millionaires in the future, okay?
Take care. I'll be tuning in from time to time. Take care,
okay.
My friend.
All right,
right.
Thank you.
Calling in.
Right. All
thank
the best.
You.
You got it. You got it.
All right.
Yes, indeed. Black millionaires, there are more of them than you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, when I was about 10 years ago, when I was just coming out of Chicago, when I was living in Chicago, what was that, 78 to 80, when I lived there, I understood, I don't know what the numbers were, but Chicago actually had the most black millionaires than any other major city back in the 80s and early 90s. Now, I don't know if that's still the case, but I know that was a showcase of black millionaires, and very few people knew that particular fact. So if any folks from Chicago want to comment on that, please give us a call, 646-716-9827. This is Glenn Greenwich, and this is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and this is the Wealth Club, and we are featuring and focusing on black millionaires. The next person I'm going to talk about is Mr. Robin Petgrave. They used to call him Fly Guy. And I'll tell you why. Because he had a helicopter, Bravo Helicopter and Wing Company, and he was the president. Now y'all got to get this. You talk about perseverance. You talk about impact. This brother started with $300, okay? He founded the company in 1991, and in 1998, revenues were $2.9 million, okay? He has 50 employees plus 26 instructors, instructor pilots. And his current net worth is about $4 million. So, again, this is out of the book, The New Color of Success, 20 Young Black Millionaires Tell You How They're Making It, by Nikki Butler Mitchell. I recommend it highly. I recommend that this book not be just a February Black History Month book, but actually a book where our young people can get the wealth and the intellect and the power of our community. And if they're interested in pursuing a particular career, that they look up folks that are in the careers that they're interested in the industries that they're in the industries that they're interested in, so they can get a sense of what's out there, what people can create, and how much money people can amass and have been amassing in our community. So I'm telling you, I'm real excited about this. You know, I every time I read out a name, I get a little energy, a little thrill, because it's something special to know that there are that many black millionaires. And guess what? They're not getting airtime. They're not playing basketball. They're not entertainers, but they're folks out there with businesses that are making it happen. Back to you, Jerry.
Okay. By the same book, Black Stars, African American Millionaires. Now, there's a young lady. I mean, there's a sister that we always heard about, that Madam C.J. Walker was talking about making hair products. You remember that, Glenn?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Now, there is a woman. Another one came before her. Her name is Annie Turbino Malone. All right? She started making products back in the starting in the mid-1800s. But what happened was she was braiding her hair, and she put Coca-Cola tops on it, and then she was like making up her own concoctions, and they like it, and then there was other girls like developing scalp problems, And she make her own concoctions. Now we get to 1900. She was 31. She moved to Lovejoy, Illinois. She set up her own laboratory to develop hair products. She worked countless hours experimenting with ingredients and other products for hairs. She 1900. She patented the first pressing comb and straightening hair in 1900. Now, all this is going on from 1917, 1926. She was building up wealth. She was going South America, Europe. And by the age of 48, she became a major stakeholder in the black cosmetics and beauty industry. At that time, it was very, very profound. After settling in the district of St. Louis, she donated $10,000. In 1920, she was worth $14 million by her death. In 1957, she died of a stroke. And then she was worth $100,000. Why she was worth $100,000? Because the government was throwing falsely things at her. And they said she wasn't paying it, but she was. And by her death, they took all her assets away and her property. So that's the one who came before C.W. Madden. So that's
cool.
Another one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to take it back. Mr. Todd B. Alexander, Managing Director of Zendemia, Inc., out of Atlanta, Georgia. We got a bunch of folks from the summit out of Atlanta, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And it was founded in 1994. And he had an initial investment of $50,000. And by 4 years later, he founded it in 1994. And in 1998, had revenues over $1 million. So in a couple of these cases, we're talking about overnight success. 4 years, he's over $1 million. FUBU was 6 years, and they were over $350 million. So I'm talking about some young brothers and sisters out there that are making it happen, and he's got a current net worth of about 1.5. Now, get this. The brother is the founder of a multi-million dollar wine distribution company. Now, you got to get, there weren't a whole lot of blacks in the wine industry, African Americans in the wine industry at all, especially in Atlanta. So he was, but this was his passion. He enjoyed wine. He enjoyed tasting wine. So he decided to take that to the next level and make it a business. And so, overnight he was able to generate and create this distribution. Out of Atlanta. So, I mean, I didn't even get Atlanta as a wine center. But, here this brother took his passion, took it to the next level, and made something that he loved to do a moneymaker for himself. You know, that's the thing that's the theme, I guess, or the conversation that we want to keep pointing to tonight is that millionaires are folks who take something that they love and they are able to generate a business around it and make things happen. So, again, we're just scratching the surface. Trust me. We spent a couple of hours, and I mean literally a couple of hours in the library, and we walked out with more information than we could speak to for the next 24/7 for the rest of the year, and we couldn't get to all of the black millionaires that are out there and what they've done and how they've done it. So we invite you to really take a look at it, go out there and find out the information for yourself. And if you're an entrepreneur, check it out. Check it out. Back to you, Jerry.
Okay. Now, I'm going to switch it up a little bit here. You know, I feel the spirit now, and I want to talk about our sisters. Tyra Banks. That's right, brothers. Tyra Banks. All right, she was the first African American woman to sign a major cosmetic company. She's one of the richest supermodels in the world. Personal wealth. This is just modern. More than $10 million. Okay? And then it goes to say that she was making other deals in the, in modern. And also, she breaking the mold while she complete high school. And they was calling her skinny and all that. And so what happened was, we're going to paraphrase it. In 1994, she started a Tyra Banks scholarship. This is during the time that she got her first deal as a modeling company. And then, as we know, she got her own radio show, a bankable production. She had her own TV show now. Now, what I love about this system, all the times that they were saying that she couldn't do it, she was doing it. And all the times they was calling her skinny, she kept her cosmetic company. Then after that, she also hosts like different TV shows that I totally forgot. I went blank on that. But at the same time, she was making wealth, and she was giving it back to our community. And I think the thing is that any young lady that's listening right now, this is the one right here that comes from the bottom and work her way up. And still give back to the community. Even brothers could understand that too. That sometimes, you know, you're not gonna like start from the top. You gotta start from the bottom. You gotta be humble. And that's what I got from her. She's a very humble person. You know, she puts in the work, and she sees what she's doing. She loves what she's doing. And then, just a very deep sister. And then she also cares for the climate change and everything. You know, you're not going to hear that in the media. But like Brother Glenn was saying, go to the library, brothers and sisters. Do your history right. Your history is right in your face.
That's right. Thank you, Jerry. Mm-hmm. I've got about at least three more people I'd like to do. We're running out of time. But I wanted to hit up this other brother. His name is Neil Jones. He's the president and CEO of M-Cubed Information Systems, Inc., out of Rockville, Maryland. Now, here's another success story. Initial investment of $300, okay? Another one with the fly guy was another $300 guy. And this gentleman, Mr. Neil Jones, he founded a company in 1985, and in 1998, the revenues were $20 million. So what did he do? He started an information systems company, information technology, how to utilize computers, and he put it together and created a company. And a light manufacturing, you know, his father had a little manufacturing background, and he went to Rutgers University in New Jersey, and then Queens College, a high school in the Caribbean. He's actually one of my countrymen out of Guyana, and he was able to come up with a company. A multi million dollar company on information systems. So I mean, there are lots of examples. We can go on from here to the rest of the night,
with conversations and stories. You know, Earl Graves. You know, I mean, all there's so many people out there. So the conversation that we want to not leave you quite yet with, but just to keep reiterating, is that there are a lot of black millionaires out there that you and I may or may not even know, and the opportunity is for us to really get to know them and get to understand that we as a community have a wealth of knowledge, a wealth of intellect, and a wealth of money-making ability. And it's up to us to keep supporting each other in the developing of that knowledge, of that information, and the possibility of what is possible for us as we take advantage of our community's economic wealth. You know, there's a lot of power out there, and we've got to tap into those resources and work together to make it happen. Go ahead, Jerry. Give it back to you.
Okay. This brother, you remember the book that first book we was reading, Brother Glenn?
Yeah.
And I copied down on Will Chamberlain. Yeah, everybody know about Will Chamberlain, his athletic career, but I'm going to tell you, but this is the one thing that we stick on millionaires, and I want people to really understand this. He was the first basketball player to earn $100,000 a year in 1965, and that was unheard of athletics. Not even Jim Brown was earning that. Okay, in 1965, when he quit the Los Angeles Lakers in the early 70s, he joined the San Diego Conquistadors. We don't know if that was part of NBA or semi pro, and he was the highest player at that time, $450,000. Then few years later, at the same team, he became the highest paid coach in the history of sports. Check this out, brothers and sisters, $600,000 a year. And then after his retirement, he donated $200,000 annually for amateur track and volleyball teams in Los Angeles area. And at that time, it was a lot of good athletes who come out of Los Angeles area, because he actually wanted to build parks and athletic tracks so in our community so we could prosper. And another brother, his name is Kurt Floyd. Kurt Floyd was the first one that developed the free agent. That was the brother that he went to, because majority of the baseball owners was white, and he said, "You cannot tell me where to go. I ain't not no slave." And so he was going to Supreme Court, and right now you see a lot of baseball players they benefit from his diligence to fight the system, and I think people need to re-up on that too. Althea Gibson, first woman to win Wimbledon. She was the first one who got her first endorsement deal back in late 1950s. So, like you said, brother, there's a whole lot of wealth out there that we need to explore. Take it away, Greg. It's all yours.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, as we said, we can continue. We've got at least another 15 names to go, but we're out of time. But what we want to do now is to acknowledge who got us here, the International Black Summit. This is part of the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and we have an event. We actually want to tell you about a couple things. We've got a prerequisite course happening in Baltimore, Maryland, the 27th, this Saturday. We also have a youth conference that's going to be happening in Ottawa, Canada, that's going to be happening next Friday the 26th and Saturday the 27th in Ottawa. Go check out our website and www.blacksummit.org, because we've got a bunch of exciting things coming down the pike. We have our annual event coming up in the 6th of August in Baltimore, Maryland. This is going to be the first time we're going to be back in the country in the last 2 years, because last year we were in London, England, and the year before that we were in Anguilla, West Indies. So we've been out of the country for 2 years, and this will be our first one back. So we're looking to have a splendid Baltimore International Black Summit annual event. As you've noticed, we've changed the format a little bit. So we've actually created a slightly different format. Tonight's show is the Wealth Club. With the first Sunday of the month, we're having health and well-being, health and wellness. And the second Sunday is relationships. The third Sunday is going to be the Wealth Club, as tonight. The fourth Sunday is going to be youth. And then if there's a fifth Sunday, we're going to have Man of the Month. So we've changed it up a little bit. We're hoping to be a little bit more exciting. We want you to participate. Our number is 646-716-9827. We talked a little bit about Tiger Woods, and his apology was our current events. And we want to let you know that the website, www.blacksummit.org, is our home website, and we've got the opportunity for you to register yourself as a member and to let us see your face, see what you look like. It's a social networking website. It's a new website that we just put into effect about maybe about 2 months ago. So we've got a new format for that. We've got a new format for the show. We're looking to take it to the top. We're looking for you to find out about us and to engage with us and create a conversation. We've got actually something for the summit moment. So hold on a second. I'm going to give you a summit moment. Let me play that for you.
We probably all knew where we were when we heard the words, "I have a dream." Those great words that Dr. Martin Luther King immortalized on the steps of Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. Yes, our summit moment actually has those words come true in the living history of Ebony Azizi Silla. Ebony Azizi Silla was the coordinator for one of our youth summits, and she is now a JAG attorney, justice advocate general. And as her mother, I had the opportunity in January 2010 to walk on to the island of Okinawa, Japan, and know that she headed the largest military hospital in Okinawa, and anything legal had to pass her desk before it would go into effect. As a proud mother, I walked into her office. As I was walking into her office, to the left I saw the bulletin board. On it was a picture of eight people that were in charge of various things in the hospital. On that bulletin board, in those eight pictures, was only one woman, one black woman. And it brought the words of, not to be judged by the color of my skin, but of my character. I saw my daughter's picture posted. Yes, this was a summit moment.
cool. So that was Shakesha Showers, and she's actually living in Japan as we speak, and her daughter, as she said, is in charge of this hospital in Okinawa. And to see her daughter's name or picture up on the wall as the first woman and certainly the first African-American woman to have her picture in that wall was pretty eye-awakening. And so that's really what the summit is about. It's not about change, but it's about transformation. We're about taking it to a whole nother level. We're about empowering our youth. We're about taking that information and delivering it and sharing it and having people's lives be altered by that information and that conversation. So that's a slice of what the International Black Summit is about and what we're interested in taking this particular conversation. And again, we invite you to register yourself for the event, for any prerequisites that are occurring, and of course to come share yourself with us on the talk show, and in person. So we're having summit events. We're actually having a summit event tonight in Baltimore, and tonight in Washington D.C., and then on Tuesday in Baltimore. So again, you can get some information about that at our website, www.blacksummit.org, and that's what I want to leave you with for now. Any closing thoughts, Jerry?
I got a few. Make it nice and quick. Brothers and sisters, the knowledge that me and Gwen had give you, you can go to the library, and you can do the same thing. The only way we're gonna stop the madness globally around us as a people, if we gain knowledge within ourselves. And I'm gonna say the books again. Why Should White Guys Have All the Fun? By Reginald F. Lewis and Blair S. Walker. Next book, Black Stars, African American Millionaires, and the other books my brother Glenn has talked about. This is knowledge that we need to know, that we need. It is urgent. Our kids need it. Us as adults, we need it too. We got to set up workshops. We got to set up certain meetings. We got to do essays and term papers, whatever, because our school system, especially in the United States, is not going to give us that. So we got to take upon ourselves. There's a lot of knowledge in the library. You can strengthen your family. You can see, even a black woman, a black man. We could play, each of us could play our part to make our family stronger. And just remember, knowledge is powerful. It's up to achieve it. Are you willing to do that? That's a question you got to ask yourselves. Thank you, Glenn.
You're welcome, man. And we're going to continue this conversation for those who want to continue it. The number that we're going to be used is 712-775-7000, and the access code is 931421, pound sign. So let me repeat that. We're having our oxygen room, 712-775-7000, access code 931421, pound sign. So if you want to continue this conversation, please do so. We'll be there. We'll wait for 10 minutes. If you're on, we'll continue the conversation for another 30 minutes. And we've got about 30 seconds. Go ahead, Henrietta. Wait a minute, hold on a second, Henrietta. Go ahead, Henrietta. Henrietta, you're on the air.
I didn't get the access code number, please.
931421.
Okay.
931421.
Correct.
Thank you. The show was great.
Thank you. We love you. God bless you. And we're done for this week. We will be returning next week at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Central. And in California, will be 3 hours different, so that'll be 5 p.m. Okay? So this is International Black Summit Talk Show Network. We're signing off. Love you. Peace and blessings. Good night.
May God be blessed with everybody. Peace, too.